Bible reading this morning is from 1 Kings 17, verses 8 to 16, and it's on the Pew Bible, page 299. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. And here ends the reading.
Lord, we want to thank you that all through history, you have been faithful. And Lord, we want to thank you that you're just the same when it comes to me and to everybody here. So Lord God, we ask now as we look at this amazing passage of scripture that we would hear your voice really very clearly. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, just a reminder or a little catch-up for anybody who hasn't been here. We are in a little series called Tales of a Mountain Man, and we have seen how Elijah kind of arrives at a time when things are incredibly bad in Israel. They're just having king after king after king who's making things worse and worse and worse. And idolatry is becoming more and more embraced, and a particular king called Ahab takes the throne in Israel, and he marries a lady called Jezebel. And Jezebel is a princess from a place called Sidon, and it is a place where Baal worship is the national religion. And when she comes into this post as queen of Israel, she decides that Baal will be the king of Israel too. Or Baal will be the god of Israel too. And into this circumstance, Elijah comes with a prophecy. And he comes with this prophecy: "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And then we discovered last week that God then instructs Elijah, after he's made this declaration to this murderous king Ahab, instructs Elijah to go and hide. And for a period of time that some commentators believe might have been about a year, he hides by the brook Cherith. And this place called Cherith, which means cut off, is a key part of shaping Elijah into a man of God, into the man of God. And as he's cut off, alone with God, God also provides for him. And he provides for him in a couple of different ways. One, a natural way, because he brings him to this brook in this place called Cutoff, which bubbles up water in a drought. But he also provides for him in a supernatural way. And he actually ordains unclean birds, ravens, to come and to drop him meat sandwiches twice a day. But we come to the sort of end of that section last week, 1 Kings 17, verse 7. And it says this: "And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land." All right, the effects of Elijah's prophecy weren't just for the bad people. They were not just for Ahab and his house. They weren't even for the prophets of Baal. They were for everybody. There was no rain for anybody, and that even affected Elijah himself. So by the brook, after a year, we'll say, maybe, of the ravens and the brook dries up. And a commentator famously said that it's harder to sit beside a drying brook than to face all the prophets of Baal. It's harder to be in that position where you think, God's taken me here. Why are things drying up in this way? But then it says this, and just look at the words. Then the word of the Lord came to him, and so he arose. Then the word of the Lord came to him, so he arose. We would probably all want the Lord to very much lay out the plan of our life, wouldn't we? We would like the Lord just to tell us, well, you're going to go here and you're going to do this, and then you're going to meet that person, and then this is going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and then you're going to end up here. We would love that. We would love a floodlight, wouldn't we, from the Lord just to show us the entire path ahead of ourselves. But the Bible tells us that he's a lamp onto our path, and lamps don't floodlight the path, do they? They just light a little bit in front of your feet. And so Elijah, he's before Ahab and he's told, go to Kerith and I'm going to look after you. And then that starts to dry up and probably Elijah's thinking, where is God here? And it says, then the word of the Lord came to him. He had to listen for the Lord even as the water dried up. I wonder what you would have been doing as the water dried up in a drought. Maybe you would have been trying to see, were there any other options for water? Maybe you would have been trying to dig a well. Whatever you might have been trying to do, that's not what Elijah does. Elijah is listening because he has a God who speaks. And as we read through the story of Elijah, we'll constantly be reading this idea of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord said, the word of the Lord came. We'll constantly be reading this because God is a speaking God if we are a listening people. We said that when Elijah came before Ahab, he said a few different things, but he said, the God of Israel, the living God before whom I stand. And Elijah didn't just stand before the Lord, he stood before the Lord listening. A bit like, do you remember that HMV symbol? Is HMV still going or is it away? Is it still going? Oh, good. Okay, it's still going. Do you remember that symbol of the gramophone with the little dog sitting? And there's that story of the dog whose master died, and then he would hear the gramophone speaking out his master's voice from a recording, and he would sit there, and that's where HMV comes from, his master's voice. And Elijah was like that. He was down by the brook, and he was waiting for God to speak. My question is this, are you a person who is listening for the Lord? Because genuine faith waits for the Lord to reveal his plans. Genuine faith doesn't try and go a different direction. Genuine faith waits for the Lord to reveal his plans. Are you a person who's listening to the Lord regularly for his voice to instruct you, to be a light onto your path? I'm going to ask Kate to come up because she's going to share a wee bit with us this morning. Kate, you can stand here. You're the preacher, so you can stand there. Okay, but I just want to give a little bit of context to this. If we move to the next slide, please, guys. Last Holy Week, we had, and it was in Marilyn, we had Paul and Priscilla Reed, who are two of the founders of CFC, Christian Fellowship Church in Belfast. And there were lots of different things throughout Holy Week, but I think it was probably the Wednesday, does that sound right? I think it was the Wednesday night where Priscilla asked us to do something, and it was Rebecca Fahey who laid this sort of beautiful table in the middle of Marilyn Church, and she asked that the table would be kind of laid in a beautiful way, like for a banquet type of idea. And then very simply, people committed this event. It was called Come to the Table. And Priscilla basically, everybody was sitting around the edge of the church, and there was this table in the middle of the church, all laid with seats around it, about 8 seats, I think. And Priscilla gave a series of stories about coming to the table. So I can't remember it all, okay, but it was stuff like, do you know in Psalm 23 where it talks about, you know, he lays a table in the presence of my enemies. And then, you know, the story of Mephibosheth, who was lame in both feet, and he was an enemy of David, or thought he was an enemy of David, and then King David brought him and gave him a seat at the table. She gave a series of stories like that. And at each story, there was the opportunity for people to respond. And to respond, all you had to do was go up and sit at the table. And if you sat at the table, you could sit there for as long or as short as you wanted. And then some people would come up and sort of pray gently nearby and perhaps share a wee verse or something with people. And Kate was one of the people who was there. So hopefully this is on, guys. But Kate, just tell us, just give us a wee description of what happened that night.
So that night, you were invited to go to the table, and if you had any needs that you wanted God to intervene on. So I had a particular need that I went to the table, and I have a wee late one who's now 17, and he's studying computers IT, and he needed a placement as part of his course. Now, that's okay if you have connections in that area, but I had no connections, and so we were left to try and find him a placement. So I was up at the table, fully intent, yeah, this is the need, Lord, we need to find a placement. And during that, into my head comes, you need to go visit your aunt and uncle. Now, this is nothing, I'm saying, Lord, this is nothing to do with, this has nothing to do with finding him a placement. So, but anyway, you need to go visit your aunt and uncle and take something with you. And right, so what am I going to take with me? So, you know, I went to the table for one thing, and I'm away down a completely different road. So heard the Lord say, bring two lamb chops. And two lamb chops. Right, okay, you go to people, you bring them flowers, you bring them chocolate, you don't bring them two lamb chops. But anyway, bring them two lamb chops. So I thought, right, okay. So I'm home from the service and said to my friend, I said, you know, that service tonight, and I got a word that said, you know, to go to visit my aunt and uncle, I have to bring two lamb chops. But what confirmed it to me was, so Priscilla on that night, Priscilla preached on in the background while people come and went from the table. And Priscilla was telling the story. It's in 1 Samuel 9 of when Samuel was ready to anoint Saul as king. And he had told the cook the day before to set aside a portion of meat. And I thought, okay, Lord, yes. And so, you know, I wasn't listening to the full sermon, but this sort of then resonated. Oh, okay, Lord, the two lamb chops, set aside the portion of meat, I have to go and visit my aunt and uncle. So, next day, headed off.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
Right, we're going to get to that, but you've been a sec. You take a wee seat there, and we'll go back to that, right? Now, Kate, here's some advice to you. Most people in this room, we prefer lamb chops than flowers or chocolates. All right. So, folks, I just want you to see that wee bit first of all. Kate, sitting at this table, going forward for prayer for a particular thing, and the Lord speaking to her. You know, and I mean, what are the chances? You know, what are the chances of thinking about bringing these two lamb chops to your relatives, and then this word coming, obscure word really, coming from 1 Samuel chapter 9. Here's the word that comes to Elijah. Arise, if we move to the next slide, please. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. All right? So let's just look at this for a second. Here's the content of the message. It wasn't about meat for him. It was about going to a place, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Now, folks, here's what I want you to see. Elijah has just spent about a year hiding from Elijah and Jezebel. Hiding from Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel want to kill him. The Lord tells him he now has to leave that hiding place and go to a place called Sidon. Now, why is that relevant? Because that is the place that Jezebel is from. That is the place where she is princess. And that is the place where her father is the king. That is the place where Baal is worshipped nationally. This place called Sidon. Elijah has been told, go from the safe hiding place you've had for a year and go into the very belly of the enemy territory. Go and stay in Sidon. It's incredible. And live there. Now, he's going to live there for about 2.5 years, if the commentators are correct, in enemy territory in Sidon. Now, not only that, but from where he is in Kerith, he's going to have to walk. You just think, go to Marlin, you know, or go to Lurgan. He's going to have to walk 100 miles. Yeah, you're right. 100 miles. Okay, 100 miles. It makes me scream too. Okay, he's going to have to walk 100 miles. He's going to have to walk 100 miles on Ahab's territory, who wants to kill him, into Jezebel's territory. She wants to kill him. And live there. And what's he going to do? Okay, behold, I have commanded a widow there. Okay, we've already talked about there. If we want the provision of God, we've got to be obedient. If we want the provision of God, we've got to go there. And Elijah, his master's voice, has been said, go there, the ravens will feed you. Now, go there, I have commanded a widow. In fact, it's exactly the same words. I've commanded the ravens, I've commanded a widow there to feed you. You know, ravens are an unclean bird. He's now going to go to what could be termed an unclean woman. Because this is a pagan woman living in a pagan place. She's a Gentile, okay, so they would consider her unclean. She's a pagan worshipper of Baals, so they would consider her unclean. And what's more, she's a widow, which means in this context that she had tiny resources. How on earth is a pagan widow going to feed Elijah 100 miles away in the heart of enemy territory? He shows, if we move to the next slide, hopefully, he shows instant obedience. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Okay, you want me to go into the belly of the most dangerous place for me in the world? Yeah, okay, I'll go. And listen, when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. Now, just see that. Some people call this treasure hunting, okay, where you pray for God to sort of highlight something in the morning and then you go out looking for that throughout the day. Well, Elijah on his 100-mile journey was probably thinking, how am I going to know which widow it is? How am I actually going to find this widow? How am I going to find this place where I'm going to be fed in enemy territory? And as soon as he gets to the gate, there just happens to be a widow there gathering sticks. Here's a question. What if Elijah had procrastinated? Okay. What if by the brook, as it dried out, what if God had given him this word and he said, I'm just going to need to think about that for a little season. I'm going to need to pray about that for a little season. Or I'm going to need to try some other things before I'll walk 100 miles into enemy territory and look for some random widow. If he had done anything other than instantly obeyed and walked those 100 miles, he would have missed her, wouldn't he, at the gate gathering sticks. And what we're going to realize in a few minutes is that not only would he have missed her gathering those sticks, she was gathering those sticks for her last meal. If he had procrastinated, he would never have met that widow. And he would have missed this divine appointment. Now, Kate, you're back up. So, where are we? He went to this event on a Wednesday night in Holy Week in 2024. You went up for your son who needed a placement. You had a little tangent about, is it lamb chops or pork chops?
It's lamb chops.
Lamb chops, lamb, even nicer. Lamb chops, okay. You had a wee tangent about lamb chops. And then Priscilla Reid confirmed it with an obscure passage from the story of Saul. So then you spoke to your friend, and then what happened?
So I decided, okay, we're going, well, we're doing the next day. So we're going to see this thing, you know. No, I did believe it was from God. I did believe it was from God. It was too obscure a scripture not to be from God. So headed off the next day, via Donaghcloney, via the butchers, and it would have been cheaper to bring them flowers because... Two lamb chops are expensive when you get... Just tell the butcher, cut me two nice big lamb chops. You think, no, maybe I should have rephrased that. But, so, didn't ring ahead, didn't telephone ahead to my aunt and uncle, just thought, no, I'm going with these. So, headed to Banbridge with the lamb chops and pulled up at the house. And at the house, there was a strange car in the driveway. So I thought, oh, somebody here. So there is. So, but anyway, I'd have got with the lamb chaps, rung the doorbell. Nobody answered. No answer at the door. And I thought, oh, right, maybe I don't know. Rung the doorbell. But anyway, I went round to the side gate and went round the side of the house and I could hear voices up the garden. It was a lovely spring day. It was a beautiful spring day. And went up the garden and there was a man there helping them. Now, this is a couple in their 80s now. They're very fit and agile for their age. But there was a man there helping them with their garden. And I landed in, delighted to see me. Everybody delighted to see me. And this man then, I got it. You get into conversation, had a cup of tea, as you do. And turns out, he's a very successful career in IT and computers. And has connections in loads of that world in Northern Ireland. And he was able to arrange a placement for my son to do through his course.
Give a round of applause. Not so good. Thank you so much, Kate. Isn't that an awesome story? Absolutely awesome story. Just how the Lord can look after the little things, and there's big things in that story as well, from Kate. God arranges this. If we move to the next slide, it says that he's already commanded this widow, okay? He's commanded this widow, and she's there. Here's what happens. He comes and he sees this widow. Behold, a widow is there gathering sticks, this divine appointment set up. And he calls to her and says, bring me a little water in a vessel that I might drink. Now, in the ancient Near East, if some stranger asks for a cup of water, it's customary, even in a drought, to serve them. Okay? So he asks for that. But the next thing he says, just as she's going to get it, he calls to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Now, that's more than she has to give. You know, imagine how Elijah feels as he comes there thinking, how am I going to find this widow and all that sort of stuff? And she's just there. Here's what I want you to remember. God is not just moving behind the scenes. He's also moving the scenes. He's not just moving behind the scenes. He's also moving the scenes. He's moving them for our good and for his glory. And I'm sure he's been hoping for a wealthy widow that lives in a mansion on those 100 miles walk. But what he finds is something very different. A lady collecting sticks. And when he asks for water, she's able to give it. But when he asks for bread, she tells him a story. And her story is this. She's out and she's gathering a couple of sticks, two sticks, to make a fire. And she's going to cook the last wee bit of bread that she can muster. And she says her and her son are going to eat it and die. That's how bad this drought is, not only in Israel, but in Sidon as well. But here's what Elijah has learned at the brook with those ravens. He's learned if God says he's going to do it, he'll do it. And so he's bold enough to say to the lady, you go and you make your meal, but give it to me first. If we go to the next slide, we'll see this. Give it to me first. First make me a little cake and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. Here's just what I want us to see, folks. It's this. There is challenge in following Jesus. It'll cost us to follow Jesus. You see, here's a wee simple thing that it just really occurred to me last night as I was thinking about this. Salvation is free, but discipleship is really costly. And it's really going to cost this lady to serve Elijah. It's really going to cost her. She's going to have to take an enormous risk here. A founder of the Vineyard movement, a guy called John Wimber, he says this, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And she's going to have to do something really costly here. Imagine this widow, her last meal, and she has to give it to a stranger first. Discipleship's really costly. I just want to flash up these words again, and I'm sure I'm going to use these words quite a little bit, if we move to the next slide, over the next little while. But this is from a church in King's Cross, and every single week, the minister from King's Cross, this Anglican church just in London, he tells the congregation this. He says, discipleship is about these four things. We really want to encourage you to come every week. Belong. Maybe to a life group or some sort of a group within the church to move deeper. Give. Discipleship will be costly that we give and we serve. These are the sorts of calls that shape us into men and women of God. It cost Kate a few pounds to buy those lamb chops from the butcher. You should have went to Farmgate, you know. But it'll cost us everything to follow Jesus. Salvation's free, but discipleship is costly. But here's the wonderful thing. If we move to the next slide, the wonderful thing is that although it was costly, she ended up all the richer as a result. She was given this promise from the Lord that actually, that as long as she served the Lord, the jugs would not run empty. There'd be flour and there'd be oil every day. And I just love this scripture. It says, this is the testimony. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. She started off with just this tiny bit of flour and this tiny bit of oil. Elijah said, feed me first and there'll be enough. And then for the next 2.5 years, every day, there was enough in those jars. There was enough in those, whatever those vessels were. There was enough. And it's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Do you know, oftentimes when Jesus does a miracle or the Lord does a miracle in the whole scripture, there's abundance, isn't there? Like 12 baskets left over after the feeding of the 5,000. But here it's not like abundance. It's just enough. It's slow release abundance. It's enough for 2.5 years, but it just comes a little bit all the time. Because look at that. It was not spent and neither did the jug of oil become empty. It doesn't say anywhere there that the flour was full and the oil was full. It just wasn't empty. Every day she probably thought, well, that's us now, finished. And the next day there was more. And you think, why was this? Why was it for many days that it was never full, but it was never empty? I was thinking a really practical reason is because imagine you're the only house with a cellar or a basement full of flour and oil. What's going to happen? You're going to get robbed. Everybody's desperate for flour and oil in the whole of the nation surrounding, and you have loads of it. You're going to get robbed. But in a spiritual way, it's so much more deep than that. It's so much more deep because it's forming Elijah and it's forming her. That there's never too much, but there's just enough. If we move to the next slide, let's just remember Kareth. Now, we said that these things are shaping this man of God. Kareth, down by this brook, meant to be cut off. Okay? Elijah learned at Kareth how to be alone with God. Zarephath means refinement or refining place. In a sense, what Elijah is learning as he becomes a man of God, first is that we have to be alone with God. The second is we have to trust in God alone. And if we're going to be men and women of God, and I have some pretty big prayer points right now in my heart at the minute. I don't know if you have big prayer points in your heart for friends and for family. But we are being refined as we trust in God alone for those things. As I close, perhaps the oldest Christian hymn that we have is, if we move to the next slide, is from Philippians 2, verse 6. Very hard to see that, I'm sorry. But it's a really, really, really old, Christological, Christ-exalting hymn from the early church. And it speaks of Jesus. It encourages us to have the same mind as Jesus. And it says this, who though he was in the form of God, did not see equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and it goes down and down and down. He was emptied for you. And here's the wonderful truth for the Christian here, that because Jesus was emptied, you will never be empty. Because Jesus was emptied, you will never be in want. And it might not be that you're full all the time, and it might not be that life's a party all the time, but you will never be in lack because he was emptied for you. So if you are feeling like your jar is pretty much empty, remember that Jesus was emptied, so it never will be. And that the oil represents the Holy Spirit, and the flower represents the Word of God. And you will always have these wonderful gifts in your cupboard of faith for as long as you listen to the voice of God. I love how the lady, and it's a jump into the beyond here, but I love how the lady said she was collecting a couple of sticks. And it's wonderful to remember that the couple of sticks that God used to kill his son on the cross were the reason why you will never be empty. He died for your fullness. Can we stand together? And we're going to sing, I Stand Amazed. And just as we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, can I just invite you to hold out whatever is empty before him? Your dry brook of dried up health or dried up wealth or dried up relationships, hold them out before him. Your empty jars of disappointment, of things that you thought would be full by now or things that you thought would be in a different place. You hold it all out before the Lord. He was dried up on the cross for you. He was thirsty on the cross. And he was emptied on the cross for you. His blood was shed. And all of it so that you could be under an open heaven and hear his voice and never be empty before this fullness of God. So Lord Jesus, we ask that like Kate, we would bring into conversation with a living, speaking God all our needs. Like Kate, we would be obedient to the word of God and the will of God. Like Elijah, we would go straight to Zarephath and obey the word of the Lord, knowing that if he says it, I believe it, and it's true. Lord, as we respond to you in our hearts, or perhaps respond to you with the prayer ministry team, we thank you that you are the God who listens and speaks and acts, who is behind the scenes and moves the scenes for your good, for your glory and our good. So Lord, pour out your blessing upon us today. In Jesus' precious name we pray.